Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest. So let's get started. Today is part two and the conclusion of Dad's interview with Miss Rhonda Stoppy. Again, Rhonda is a ray of light. She is a joy to be around, and she's the definition of a lady. She's a wife, a mom, author, speaker, but most importantly, she has a calling that God placed on her heart to lift up couples and marriages everywhere. She offers sage advice, and my dad is right there tracking with her and love his perspective too. You know, Evelyn and I lean into my folks and hers for marriage mentorship, and I hope you will find someone to mentor you and your spouse when the time is right. Rhonda is the author of The Marriage Mentor, Becoming the Couple You Long to Be. So right now, here is my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, joined by Rhonda Stoppy.
There's nothing more beautiful in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you and they love you. And Rhonda, nothing more painful, disappointing, discouraging, depressing than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you and you're not sure they love you, or maybe they don't love you. And so in the midst of it, the cry of the soul is, all I've ever wanted is for someone to love me. You open up this book, The Marriage Mentor, with a story, and I want you to share it. It's about Vi and her husband, Kurt.
I love this story. I have a heart for pastors' wives, and Steve and I minister to ministry marriages. You'd be surprised, maybe you wouldn't, how many ministry marriages are struggling.
I know.
And they don't have anywhere to go to talk to anyone about it. They feel like if they reveal that they're having struggles, that it's going to affect how their church thinks about them. So oftentimes, Steve and I are that anonymous couple that comes alongside of them. We have an 80-acre ranch in the middle of nowhere in California, and we have a little cottage there that we let them come stay a week with us and really just unpack some things that they're struggling with. But there is a minister's wives retreat that I attend every year since I became a senior pastor's wife 21 years ago. And there was this precious woman named Vi, and she was older, much older than me, short, so full of life and energy and laughter, just the funnest person. And I was like, I want to be a pastor's wife like Vi. And we became fast friends, and we've been friends over 21 years now. But one year, her husband, Kurt, came down with cancer. And she missed that women's retreat that year. And we all prayed for Vi and for Kurt. And Vi said that on the last day of Kurt's life, she was sitting next to him. He was on the couch, and he looked at her and he said, Vi, am I dying? And Vi said, yes, Kurt, you're dying. And then Vi mustered up her happiest, most joyful spirit. And she said, but Kurt, you're going to see Jesus today. What's the first thing you're going to tell Jesus when you see him today? And Vi said, Kurt closed his eyes, and then he got a smile on his face, and he opened his eyes and he looked at her and he said, Vi, I'm going to thank him for giving me you. I cannot tell that story without crying. That is what we want our husbands to say. At the end of their life, we want them to say, the greatest gift God gave me was this helper, this woman, this lover, this friend. And honestly, when I tell that story, when I'm speaking at a women's event, tears fall, because we all knew the wife we meant to be, the wife we were so sure we were going to be, and we all know the wife that we are. And I always express to them, are you the wife you meant to be? And if you're not, let's change that. You know, our husbands are going to be on their deathbed and they're going to say, peace out, girlfriend. I'll see you on the other side. And we're not married in heaven. Jesus said so. But we long for it. And we do want our spouse to love us like that. We want our husband to love us like that. but there's some work involved in being that type of a spouse. It's coming alongside of them. It's laughing with them. It's praying for them, enjoying them. It's liking them, covering with love. We're not looking for, you know, oh, well, you didn't measure up to my expectation again. And let me tell you what you did or didn't do. For me, the girlfriends that I have, the friends I hang out with, are the ones that if I forgot their birthday, they don't hold it against me. They filter my conversation through what they know of my heart. And that's what our spouse wants from us. Know me, know my heart, know that I'm tired, know that I am out there slaying giants for you in the workplace, keeping my eyes only for you. He walks in the door and immediately we're saying, you know, you forgot to take the trash out and the neighbors are thinking we're such pigs because we haven't mowed the lawn. And, you know, we're not celebrating who they are. We're listing what they're not and punching them in the gut. So I want my husband on his deathbed to say, I want to thank God for giving me you, but it has to start somewhere. So let it begin with you.
Rhonda, I want to offer a guilt-free drop today to our listeners, too, because many listening are in maybe some empty, loveless relationships, and they want that, you know, and they're, like, struggling. Should I turn this up or should I turn it off? We want you to turn this up because there's some things to share here that I think will really mean something to your heart. Rhonda, that guilt-free drop is this. A lot of marriages are in trouble. And behind closed doors in the quiet corners of a lot of hearts, there's sorrow, there's emptiness, there are tears. Let me say this. Anything that smacks of the righteousness or beauty of God, like your marriage, I believe all hell will be against it. I don't know your thought, Rhonda, but I really believe this is a war zone. This isn't a battlefield. This is a war zone out there right now. And we've got to do something radical to help save relationships. We need that now more than ever. Not yesterday. This is right now. And I agree with you. We talked a little bit yesterday about our kids growing up and whether or not they want a marriage like mom and or dad. And it's like, God help us. Rhonda, we talked some yesterday, disappointments, other things, but let's come back to what are some of the war zone challenges that are going on that you think this is, hey, hear me, you've got to get this stuff right. You got to see this because this is killing us.
Mm-hmm. It is killing us, and it's killing the church and the pretense behind closed doors and the judgmental attitudes and all of those things that we know are in our marriage and we really want to change them. And I remember one couple, and I think I tell their story in The Marriage Mentor. They had come in and they were saying how hard their marriage is, and they both worked full times and the kids come home and they're latchkey for a while till mom or dad gets home from work, and one's not making dinner because they're tired and the other one's mad as they come home to a messy house, and everybody's just working themselves to the bone. And I said, can I just throw out there that maybe you need to change your lifestyle and maybe you need to get rid of some things? They wanted the stuff. They wanted the nice house. I've worked hard. I deserve all of this stuff. And I remember saying, if you don't and you lose this marriage, you're both going to end up living in an apartment and your kids will have less supervision than ever because you'll both be working full time. And most moms that are single moms are struggling financially. Dad's going to marry a 20-year-old and his house is going to be the fun place to hang out. You're not going to be better off if you guys separate. God doesn't want that for you. Satan is lying to you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of darkness. And he's wanting to lie to you to tell you you'd be happier with someone else or single. What do? We press in to find mentors. We say, this is what is destroying my marriage, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to let go of what good comforts or things I think I deserve. There are difficult seasons in marriage. Yeah. They come and they go. Do. But as we cry through those, as we work through those, as we allow God to work in our own hearts and to basically take away everything that we think brings us glory to live for his glory, then he begins to knit our marriages together.
When you have somebody to share this with, someone that you are going to accept influence from, you got to find that person, by the way. You need that person. there's something that begins to take place in your heart. You don't feel like you're so alone anymore. Somebody's walked these dirt roads, if you will, ahead of you. And Mom, Dad, I didn't know you guys went through hard times. I didn't know you almost left each other. How'd you get that done? What do you believe now really matters? What are the priorities that we need to be thinking about as a couple? How do we resolve conflict? Rhonda, you share a lot of these insights inside this book, The Marriage Mentor, but can you give us one or two nuggets that just say, hey, listen, if you're in a spin and you're not able to talk well to each other, take us down that road, would you?
I think it's obviously getting help from the outside. And I'd like to just talk for a second about the spouse who knows their spouse is never going to get help, because that's common. Their spouse is never going to say, yeah, I'll go talk to somebody or I'll go listen. I have watched women who were in difficult, painful relationships, I'm not talking about abusive, decide they were going to get help, talk to godly counselors. They were going to choose to forgive and let God love their spouse through them. And they're happy. And their children have watched them live in a difficult marriage, one that didn't have good communication, but one where the one who decided to walk with the Lord stopped arguing. You know, it says, as much as it depends on you, dwell at peace with all men. You know, if you're having a prayer life that is powerful, oftentimes the wife can say something, shut your mouth and go ask the Holy Spirit to do the work in the spouse, and you'd be surprised what the work will be done. But their children are watching. And I have watched children in those marriages grow up pursuing Christ, choosing spouses who love the Lord, and having amazing marriages because of the example they saw in a home that wasn't a perfect marriage, but it was one that the spouse who walked with the Lord reflected his love. So what do you do when you're spinning and you're out of control? It's really being a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper, just holding your tongue. And, you know, I'm not a fighter. I'm a middle child. I would plug my ears when my siblings went at it, and I'm just make me invisible and it's going to be okay. But when people argue and they disagree, there's either flight or fight. Some press in and it's like, come on, let's talk and let's get this out. And if they grew up where that's how their parents fought, that's how their siblings fought, that's how they, you know, just said whatever was on their mind to get it out there. And they say harsh words to win the argument. And then they walk away and they're okay because they've said what they needed to say and you just better deal with it. But someone like me, if someone talks to me like that, I'm thinking, you must hate me.
Yeah, you shut down.
Yeah, that you have been thinking those thoughts in your mind and finally got so angry that you would explode on me and say those things. How long have you hated me? Because I would never, ever do that unless I absolutely had had enough and someone had just pushed my buttons until I had finally blown up. And that's happened to me a couple times in my lifetime, and I'm not proud of it. But we have to speak in a way that they can even hear it, because otherwise they just shut it down. And saying something to them that you respect about them, I know you work hard. And I know you're really tired at the end of the day. I am too. But I know that there's got to be some way that we can figure out how to share this burden with each other. And then if they don't listen, don't chase them around.
Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We often look to our spouse and believe they're going to make us happy, that they're going to meet the deepest longings of our heart. And then when they disappoint or when they hurt, it's devastating, and we're lost, wondering, you know, what that's all about. And as we fight the clock here a little bit, Rhonda, I want you to take us there and talk to us about who Christ is to you and how that helped you on your journey.
Mm-hmm. We start believing the lie, I married the wrong person. I'd be happier with someone else. Steve says in The Marriage Mentor, the grass isn't greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. And in my own life, I would have ruined my marriage. My husband's a great guy. My husband would do anything in the world for me. And I would have sucked the life out of him trying to get my own sense of worth from him, my sense of satisfaction, my happiness. We watch Cinderella stories and it teaches us that it's Prince Charming's job to sweep us off our feet and make us happy. And when they don't, we blame them. And we want to look for another prince. We think I married Sleepy or Dopey or Doc. I didn't marry the prince. But the reality is for myself, for my own story, for the women I've mentored, it began with me falling on my face and asking the Lord to transform my heart, make me into the woman God wants me to be. He saved me unto good works that he ordained in advance that I should walk in them. And that work begins in loving my husband.
Yeah. Rhonda, I've always believed, by the way, that the most important work we can do is interior work. And when we know we're loved deeply by God, it is such a game changer. It frees me up because it frees you up. I don't have to draw from you what I can't get from you. And that makes all the difference in the world. Hey, Rhonda, I want to go a little further. I read in the book that you have become a biker chick. I wanted you to help our audience understand what's happening in your marriage.
My husband loves dirt bikes and motorcycles and all of those things. In fact, he shattered his hip in, I don't remember what year it was, 15 years ago. He has a metal plate. I call him Buns of Steel because he has a metal plate in his hip now. But he always wanted to take motorcycles, street bikes. And I didn't want to do it because we had kids. If we die, who's going to raise them? So I had a choice to make. Husbands want us to play with them. That is one of the things when we're dating that they say, hey, let's go miniature golfing, or hey, let's go hiking, or hey, let's go do the thing. What a lot of times happens once we get married as wives, our life becomes all about work and we stop playing with them. So I decided it was time to get on the back of a bike, and we have had the most amazing experiences. We've taken the motorcycle from California to Seattle on several occasions and then caught a cruise ship to Alaska. And that's his romance was the me on the bike behind him, and my romance was the cruise to Alaska. But you know, even when you're doing those adventures together, things go wrong, and those things that go wrong kind of make you a team. We were coming home from our Alaskan cruise and the bike broke down. We were on an Oregon coast. It was the summertime and there were no hotels available. We got one last room. It was the dirtiest, most horrific hotel room I've ever been in my entire life. We were there for 2 days with a bike that did not work, and he was a mechanic, so he was trying to fix it. And he was like, let's call somebody from church. They'll bring a truck and pick us up. And it was like, no, we're going to finish this. This is our vacation. It's just the two of us. We're going to do this together. And we did. But when you play together and when you exert yourselves together, or you accomplish something together, or something goes wrong and you come through it together, that's community building. That's actually something that we laugh about now. And the stories that you tell your kids, if it's all just everything's in order and nothing ever unexpected happens, you kind of miss that romantic element that you could enjoy.
Yeah. Rhonda, it's amazing. You look at some of the studies on what individuals do after a divorce. First thing they're doing, going to the gym, going on a diet, starting to play again. And it's like, come on. Let's figure this stuff out now. Rhonda, let's close this way, talking about some of those keys to a fulfilling. You know, super happy couples, what do they look like? What do they do? What do we need to do?
The best thing that our family enjoys is when everyone can be at the ranch for a week together with all the grandkids, 13. I have two on the way, so I'll have 15 very soon. So I'm winning big time. But they don't want to do that if mom and dad are walking on eggshells. You've got to have an environment that is joyful and mom and dad enjoying each other. And then the kids and the grandkids want to come. So 10 keys to a more fulfilling marriage. I'm just going to list these off real quick from the marriage mentor. Number one is, your husband was never meant to be your happily ever after. Jesus was. And we talked about that in an earlier conversation. Number two, respecting your husband will inspire him to love you more. We have to create a way that they know we think the world of them. And that will actually trigger their emotions and love for their wife. Staying in love is all about your love for God. Again, we talked about that. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119, 165, I think. When I become offended, it's because I'm offendable. As I'm washed with the water of the word, I'm less offendable. What did you mean by that? Why'd you say that? When I'm offended, I need to pull back and ask the Lord, what's going on with me that I'm picking up all of these offenses? And I will say, every 28 days, we're a little crazy and we do get offended. I always tell wives, wait 3 days. If you still feel that strongly about that thing you have to talk about 3 days later, have the conversation. So the next one is number four, parenting as one brings unity into your marriage and security to your kids. Your kids will never be more secure than when they know mom and dad are in love with each other.
Yeah.
Number five, the grass is not greener on the other side. Number six, sure. The secret to keeping your husband's attention is finding your worth in Christ. Number seven, pursue your husband sexually and it will fulfill him with a sense of well-being. Number eight, be a peacemaker in your marriage relationship. Number nine, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And number 10, live with a missional perspective, living in a way that knows that God has put us here. I'm an evangelist at heart. In fact, I did a devotional for Dobson's when I was there one time for his staff, and it was called Sharing the Gospel Without Regrets. That's my passion. If we are not willing to live in a way that God can use us to hold out our faith to draw others to Christ and our marriage being that light, we're missing the purpose for which God has saved us and to what he has called us.
And Rhonda, as we are up in our years together, it's just like you can't get enough of each other. You want to figure this thing out. I want to make sure we finish well.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute.
G.K. Chesterton said it best, when men stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. Without an anchor truth, people grasp at whatever offers meaning, identity, or peace, even if it's counterfeit. Romans 1 verse 25 warns of exchanging the truth of God for a lie. Clinically, this creates cognitive dissonance and emotional instability, chasing temporary fixes that never truly satisfy. You see, the human soul is bound to worshiping something. The question is, what are you emphasizing and what are you making the foundation of your life to be? Today, take 5 minutes to reflect. Are your deepest beliefs rooted in God's truth or cultural trends and emotional highs? Then return to the anchor. Go to the foundation of your spiritual and emotional house, get in the Word, and ground yourself on truth.
This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net. That's aacc.net.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Caring Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Caring Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to caringcounsel.com. That's caringcounsel.com.